We have a big hole right in the middle. Turn around and look at the people. Okay, just greet them back there. Hi. I don't know whether to invite the front people in the front to go to the back or the back to come to the front. Really, if somebody's brave back there, just stand up and move forward. I really like to see people's faces and smile. So if you feel brave this morning, come on forward. We'd love to have you a little closer. The group that often sits in the middle, a lot of them are gone to visit family this weekend, and so we have a section there. I don't realize it, but now we do. Anyways, it's a beautiful, beautiful Sabbath day, isn't it? Have you been blessed already? God is good all the time. All the time. I know sometimes we say, well, you know, God's not really blessing me, and I must be on, you know, the wrong side of him or whatever, you know, but that's not true. The Bible tells us that God loves us unconditionally. He loves us in the good and in the bad times. Isn't that great? That's just, it's hard for us as humans to understand that kind of love, isn't it? Because so often, you know, we get tangled up in our family issues, and we get tangled up in relationships that our people love us conditionally. And that's not the way God loves us, though. And that's wonderful, isn't it? This morning, we're going to pick up where we left off a couple weeks ago. We're, as those of you that are members here know, we've been going through the book of Genesis, and we're studying the lives of the patriarchs, those great men and women of faith. Book of Hebrews has a long list of individuals who, by faith, God led them in their lives. And so today we're going to pick up the story of Jacob. We left Jacob a couple of weeks ago, still shaking in his boots, wasn't he? What was he afraid of? He was afraid that his brother Esau, the one that he had left so many years ago, the one that he had cheated out of his birthright, the one that he had cheated out of a blessing, he had left that brother, and the brother was very angry. In fact, he said, I'll kill him. Esau said, I'm going to kill Jacob. And so Jacob ran from that, from his home, left his home, and ran off to live in a distant country with his uncle Laban. And while he was there, he didn't change his ways too much. He kept cheating and lying. And eventually, he ran out of tracks at Laban's home, and he had to leave. And he said, well, I'm going to go back. I'm going to go back to my father. I'm going to go back if it kills me. Even if Esau kills me, I'm still going to return. And that's where we find Esau in our passage this morning. If you want to turn in your Bibles to Genesis, let's look at Genesis chapter, we're in chapter 33. Genesis chapter 33. Now remember, Jacob was extremely anxious about this meeting. He didn't know how his brother felt about him. He knew that his brother had been angry at him and probably still was angry. And his brother was on his way. Esau was on his way to meet him. And he had an army with him. Esau figured, well, it's curtains for me. That's it. You know, there's one thing that we can learn. And if you haven't noticed it by now, you need to go back and review then the story of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The one thing we can learn is that God is a God who believes in new things. He's a God who believes in new beginnings. He's a God who believes in second chances and third chances and fourth chances. He's a God who is willing to renew his covenants with his people. Yes, he's a God that believes in New Year's resolutions. Do you have one? Have you thought of one yet? You need to think of one that's coming up. Some of you say, nah, you know, forget it. I don't believe in that stuff. You know, because every time I make a New Year's resolution, it seems like, you know, a few months down the road, you know, I forget all about it. You know, I'm going to lose 20 pounds this year, and I'm going to make that resolution, and then a few months down the line, you forget about it, and that homemade apple pie just looks too good. And pretty soon, we forget all about the promise that we made to ourselves. Or maybe you've made a promise that you're the New Year's resolution that you're going to visit the gym 3 times a week. Or maybe you're going to phone your mom once a week. Or maybe you're going to stop drinking caffeinated drinks. Or you're going to spend more time with your family. Or maybe you've decided that you're going to try it. You're going to read the Bible through from cover to cover, Genesis to Revelation. And then you get bogged down in all those begats, you know, here in Genesis. you look at the descendants of Esau. It takes up a couple chapters, and you go, oh, and you fall asleep. And next thing you know, the Bible's sitting there by your bed, and you've kind of given up that idea of trying to read from cover to cover. Or maybe you've decided that you want a new job this year. You're kind of bored with the old job, or maybe the boss is giving you a hard time. You're going to get a new job. You're going to make more money. You know, these kinds of promises, are they're good promises. They're good resolutions. But in reality, they're lightweight. They're really lightweight compared to the type of wrestling that Jacob did here. That's recorded for us in Genesis. We're talking about heavyweight wrestling here. Try this on for a minute. Think about this for just a moment. You're going to go back to a place in your life that has brought pain. You're going to go back. Think about that for a moment. A time at some point in your life when there was a hurt or a pain in your life, where there was emotional suffering, maybe there was loneliness, isolation, an event that maybe paralyzed you for a moment, a time that clearly you would like to forget. You'd like to just not even remember it. And you've spent maybe a lot of time, maybe you've spent a lot of time over the years and a lot of energy to forget that experience or that time period in your life. But you can't go on. You can't go on because the emotional pain now is starting to affect you physically. It's time then. It's time to discover the God of new beginnings. It's time to discover the God of Jacob, Abraham, and Isaac. I'd like to suggest this morning, as we have studied the story of Jacob, and as you know, the story of Jacob, actually, there's more chapters devoted to the life of Jacob than Abraham and Isaac. Isn't that interesting? There's more said about Jacob. And maybe that's because Jacob was a heavy-duty wrestler. Maybe that's because Jacob, more than his father and his grandfather, was really ready and willing to get down on the mat and wrestle with God. And so there's more for us to learn in the life of Jacob. Sure, in studying the life of Jacob, we're going to bump into a lot of dysfunction. We've bumped into a lot of dysfunction. We've looked at the life. We've scrutinized the life of Jacob. We've tried to get into the experiences that he experienced and the pain and the suffering that he went through. A lot of that suffering and pain he brought on himself, but some of it was brought on by other people, even family members in his life. But as we arrive here in chapter 33, in Genesis chapter 33, we have arrived at a point where Jacob has decided that he's going to seek healing in his life. He's decided that the experiences that he's been through in the past are experiences that he can learn from, and now it's time to move forward. It's time to find healing. And so we have a number of steps that Jacob began to take. And I'd like to share some of those with you as we talk this morning. And here are some of the steps. Let's just look at a couple of the steps that Jacob was willing to take to find healing in his life. And by the way, I don't really have to be reminded by anyone to know that Christmas time is joyful and is as wonderful as Christmas is, and the beauty of Christmas and all the joy of Christmas. I don't have to be reminded that it's not always a happy experience for all of us. Not everybody has a great time at Christmas. Because I can assure you that when families get together, it's not always joy and happiness. There's always a little bit of sadness too. There's always a little bit of dysfunction too. There's always something that gets in the way of making Christmas as joyful and as joyous as it could be. And I received a phone call from a family member I guess it was the day before Christmas. And it had to do with family issues. It had to do with a family member that was going to be coming over that was going to create a lot of turmoil, a lot of stress, a lot of pain in the Christmas experience. And I spent a couple of hours actually trying to help them negotiate their way through that stressful experience. We're told statistically that even though the time of Christmas is a beautiful, wonderful time, that incidences of abuse go up at Christmas time, that violent family altercations, they go up at Christmas time. More spousal abuse, more children abused. It's sad, isn't it? It's sad. But it just reminds us, it just helps us understand that just like Jacob, we all need to change. We all need to find healing in our lives. And so Jacob decided that the first step that he needed to take was to face his past, to go back home, to go back to his father, to his mother, and yes, to his brother. Even if he had to die, he was still willing to go back and face that because the turmoil in his life, the pain and suffering in his life had become so great that he was willing to face the past so that he could at least find some comfort and maybe find some healing. And so he did. He headed back home. In returning to home, he broke the family pattern. You know what the family pattern was? Abraham and Isaac? Running from every problem. Running from every situation, trying to get away from it rather than facing it and dealing with it. And here, Jacob is going back to face. He's going back to face the issues at home, to deal with the issues at home, to talk through the issues at home if he could. And so what we have here is the beginning of Jacob's desire to break the dysfunctional patterns in his family system. Oh, by the way, let me remind you, in case some of you may have forgotten, let me read to you. I have it written here in the book of Genesis, right at the bottom of my Bible. The family systems theory suggests... Listen to this. I've read it before many times. I want to repeat it again. The family systems theory suggests that reoccurring patterns in the present life of a family, both functional and dysfunctional, can be understood best when couched in the terms of the history of the family. That is, their generational patterns. Whether those patterns be good or bad, healthy or unhealthy, functional or dysfunctional, we can understand them best by looking at the history of the family. And so Jacob is willing to go back. He is willing to take the responsibility for his problems and not wait for his wife or someone else to bail him out. He was looking to resolve those issues himself. So that's the first step that Jacob was willing to do. That's the very beginning of becoming a healthy, functional individual. He's willing to face those issues, to go back and to deal with them. Number two that we see here in this story, he decided to be the initiator He decided to be the one who would break the bad patterns, the dysfunctional patterns in the family family system. So he is going to take the initiative. He's going to step out. He has decided he will be the one that will stop the madness, the craziness, the dysfunction. It takes a lot of guts to do that, you know. It really does. He becomes the peacemaker. He wanted more than anything else to restore his family to a healthy, godly, functional family. And he was willing to do that at any price. This is, I want you to think about it. This is the defining moment of Jacob's entire life. Everything that is in the past and everything that will take place in the future revolves around this one moment. This one moment when he suddenly realizes, he wakes up, the lights come on, and he says, I'm going to make a difference. I'm going to change. I will be the one that will change. I'm not going to leave it up to future generations. I'm not going to leave it up to my wives. I will be the one that will bring about this change. I will step forward and be the pivotal, or rather be the transitional person. Jacob becomes the transitional person. By the way, we're told and over again in all the books that I've read and all the discussions I've had with my friends that are family counselors, they will tell you that usually the dysfunction in a family, the unhealthiness in a family, will continue to 3 to 4 generations. Usually by the third generation, it is so dysfunctional and so painful and so difficult that someone steps forward and says, I will be the transitional person. I am going to, this madness will stop. This will be the end. In my great-grandfather's family, he was the transitional person. He came from an alcoholic home in the 1800s, a home where there was abuse, a home where there was people that beating on each other and stumbling around as drunks, you know. And he said, enough of that. He discovered Jesus Christ as his personal Savior, and he went off to Bible college in Ohio, became a minister, became a missionary, traveled overseas, started a whole pattern, a new pattern in the family. 4 generations of missionaries, 4 generations of pastors. And I'm happy. I'm proud to be part of that legacy, part of that pattern. Does that mean that my family is totally functional? No. By the way, I'd like to give you a news flash. There is no such thing as a totally functional family. Okay? Ain't there. It doesn't exist. But counselors will tell you that a family is as healthy as its healthiest member and as sick as its sickest member. Okay? Because a person who stands up and says, I want to be healthy. I'm going to encourage healthiness. I want my family to be healthy. What will happen is they will begin to affect those that they live with, those who surround them, their family that's around them. On the other hand, if a person is sick and dysfunctional and unhealthy, they begin to drag the family down. They begin to drag their friends down. Those they associate, they begin to drag them down with them. And so as Christians, when we accept Jesus Christ into our heart, when we make Him the pattern that we follow, then in turn, we begin to encourage others to follow Jesus. And that pattern begins to grow, and it begins to spread. And soon you have healthy individuals, you have healthy families, you have healthy churches, you have healthy communities, and healthy nations. And we can see that in the Bible. Perfect example. You don't have to dig too far. Right here in this story here, we have 2 brothers, Esau and Jacob. One struggles and wrestles with God. One desires to be a friend of God's, and the other one has no desire whatsoever. And if you go a few chapters ahead, you'll discover all the descendants of Esau. It's amazing to me, the guy had all kinds of kids and wives. And they went on to become, later on, down the line, the enemies of the children of Israel, who were the descendants of Jacob, who became Israel. So Jacob was willing to wrestle with God. And that's why God changed his name from Jacob, the heel grabber, the deceiver, to Jacob, to Israel, the one who wrestled with man and with God. Israel was willing, Jacob was willing, to be a transitional person. Every Christian needs to be a transitional person. Every Christian needs to be an individual who is willing to connect with God, to become a friend of God's, of God, and to become healthy. And so Jacob, who becomes Israel, is now a new man, a new paradigm, a new beginning, a fresh beginning. He's turned over the leaf. He's turned the page. He's writing a new chapter. He is a totally different person as he walks away from that riverbed where he wrestled with God that night. And God changed his name from Jacob to Israel. By the way, I'd like to point out, I may have mentioned this before, when Jacob wrestled with God that night, there on that riverbed, God blessed Jacob. Jacob wouldn't let go of God. They were wrestling there, and he wouldn't let go. And he said, I won't let go unless you bless me. And God blessed him. But remember that God also touched his hip. And he became crippled for the rest of his life. Interesting. Sometimes we think that, well, okay, you know, once I accept God and, you know, and I've wrestled with God and we're friends now, that life is always going to be wonderful. Life is always going to be perfect. Life is always going to be painless. It's not true. I don't find that pattern in the Bible. In fact, we have the Apostle Paul many, many decades later, the Apostle Paul saying, you know, asking God, take away the thorn in my flesh, God. And what does God do? No. Keep it there to remind you of the wrestling, the wrestling, the struggling, the praying. Jesus is a perfect pattern. Jesus, who there in Gethsemane, wrestled with his Father, take this cup from me, take this suffering from me, I can't bear it any longer. God just came and told his son Jesus there in Gethsemane, don't worry, don't worry, everything's going to be okay. I'm here with you. Jacob the wrestler. The third thing that Jacob was willing to do, and we should be willing to do, is transitional people. And this is the most important one. I've left it to the last, but I want you to remember this more than anything else. Jacob was willing to include God. He was willing to include God in his life. He was not only willing to include God in his life, he was willing to include God in the decision-making in his life. He finally got it. And rather than just being sort of a passive observer of life, Jacob is now willing to engage himself wholeheartedly in a relationship with God, even to the point of wrestling with him physically. Physically wrestling. And something I made note of about transitional people, and I found this pattern throughout the scriptures. People who are willing to be transitional individuals, people moving from dysfunction to function, are people who are willing to wrestle with the issues in their lives. They're not willing to just lay down and just go with the flow. They're willing to wrestle. Transitional people are people who hold on for dear life. They're tenacious. They hold on, never giving up. Their faith is strong. Yes, my life is painful. My life is difficult. But God, I won't let go until you bless me. I won't let go until you bless me. And that's the third thing, or number C I put down here. They're not going to let go of God until God has blessed them. I'm really excited because now we can begin to look at the life of Jacob from another perspective. Up to this point, it was painful to read the life and the story of Jacob. Here's a man who's just basically shadow boxing. He's wrestling and fighting with himself. He's making bad decisions. He's doing things that are coming back on him. He's creating enemies. He's lying. He's cheating. He's doing all these things, and he's in turmoil. He's a mess. He's in total mess. And now that he's found that he needs to turn his life over to God and let God lead in his life, the story of Jacob makes a real transition here. I wonder what God has in store for us in 2009. What does God have in store for you? Are you willing to go to the mat with God? Are you willing to wrestle with God? To ask God what it is in your life that stands between you and healthiness? Is it possible that God is interested in taking all of us to the mat in 2009? Is it possible that God wants all of us to be transitional people, be willing to step forward, to be willing to step out of mediocrity, to be willing to step out and stand for those truths that we know that are right? What sort of change might that bring to our lives? What change might that bring to our families and our relationships? How might that impact our families and our churches and our community? I don't know what New Year's resolution you've made. I have mine, and you have yours. And I hope that somewhere on that list that you've made for the coming year, that you've put on that list a wrestling match with God. Being willing to be transitional, being willing to seek and to pursue healthiness and wholeness, it's important. We live in a world where there's enough dysfunction to go around. We live in a world that's full of pain and hurt. We live in a world where families are divided and homes are broken. We live in a world where there's so much suffering. I think it's time that as Christians, we begin to bring healing and wholeness and healthiness into every relationship, into every community, into every church, into every family. My prayer is that at Point Loma here, we will continue to be a model, that we will continue to be a church that seeks healthiness and wholeness. Father God, we're so thankful for the story of Jacob. We're so thankful for his willingness to be a transitional person, someone who is willing to stand up, to be counted. We thank you for his example. We pray that each of us in the coming year will also take the example of Jacob and be willing to stand up, to be counted, to be willing to be transitional and to bring healthiness and wholeness and to share the good news of salvation through Jesus Christ. Bless us, Lord, individually in the coming year. Bless us corporately. We pray these things in your name.